Water wheels are as old as civilizations. They're common both in the East and the West. What's new in 18th century Europe is an attitude to how they should be used. You have large numbers of relatively small producers who absolutely depend for their competitive advantage on the amount of work they're getting out of their local wheel. And the pressure of competition, which itself is a quantitative, a measurable advantage, turns into the demand for even the slightest change in design, which will give that local producer an edge. And it's exactly the philosophy of the edge that seems to drive 18th century European engineers, technicians, entrepreneurs, capitalists in their search for even the most minute advantage, because that can then be multiplied, scaled up. One can start to sell one's own water wheel designs to other people who use wheels. And it's that very rapid feedback of even the slightest advantage that seems to provide some of the momentum behind the new industrialization of that period. I think there's an issue here about what's doing the explaining and what we're trying to explain. We're simultaneously looking at the emergence of a new kind of consciousness in a certain class in Europe, which are the industrialists, the entrepreneurs, the people for whom subtle advantages over competitors are worth everything. On the other hand, it's not until you get the basic technical infrastructure which allows these very small advantages to be turned into big rewards that this consciousness is itself rewarded and starts to grow. So I think, yes, there is a way of explaining a certain kind of difference between East and West on the basis of the very widespread sensibility in 18th century Europe that small advantages can turn into big returns. And I don't think we see that in the Eastern societies of exactly the same time. But I would also argue that before that sensibility arises, you need the very strong sense that the world is a set of nested machines. The machine philosophy goes along with the philosophy of profit, because without the machine philosophy, you don't see natural forces as forces of production. You don't see the fall of a waterfall or the boiling of steam as intensely something from which a profit can be made. So that when Matthew Bolton says, "I sell what every man wants, power," and he says it to Dr. Johnson in the 1780s, he's pulling together the machine philosophy. Power means what you can generate from designing better machines, and the entrepreneurial philosophy, I sell power, I'm an entrepreneur. And I think it's the extraordinarily rich alliance of those two ideas. The world's a machine, you can make a profit out of using its forces, that distinguishes Western and Eastern approaches to these problems. Yes, but what's distinctive about 17th and 18th century Western Europe is that the world is a nested set of machines. That it's not just that creation itself was summoned into existence by a mechanic, which is what these men believe, but that every component of this world can be understood as a smaller machine, made up of even smaller machines, so that they'd speak of the pregnant automata, which is to say the machines which carry within them machines, which carry within them machines. And the idea that every single component, the waterfall, the boiling steam, the motion of rocks, the way in which metal works, all that is basically mechanical and can therefore be understood through the use of machines, so that you constantly analogize between the devices humans make and the devices which appear in nature. And therefore, you can get profit out of one because you can get profit out of our machines. That, I think, is distinctive. It seems to me that a traditional way in the East of understanding the natural world is as separate from and dominant over the works of humans. And certainly in, for example, Taoist approaches, there's a very strong emphasis on working in harmony with the world. Whereas the machine philosophies of 17th and 18th century Europe insist on the mastery of the world and the violence and the gendered language of that word mastery are absolutely crucial. The world is a machine, all of its components are mechanical. What humans, especially those in power, can do with their machines, they can apply to and extract from the natural world. They can understand, measure, direct, and control it. And I think that contrast between perhaps a harmonic and a mechanistic worldview goes some way, by no means all the way, goes some way to explain this difference.